Ultimately, the gift of your son. And Lord, just thank you that we can go back and look at passages like Isaiah, like we're going to look at this morning, and just rejoice in you and what you've done and bringing your light to this dark world, Lord. And Lord, I pray you guide us as we go through your word this morning. I pray that we would be encouraged by you and the things you have to share. And Lord, give me wisdom as well as I try to encourage and try to just teach your word well. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So with Christmas time of year, it's always fun to, get into the full holiday season, our culture that we've created around Christmas. And, you know, Christmas is about Jesus and his birth and all that he's done for us, of course, and the wise men and the nativity scenes and all that. And that's always, it's always fun to get into our certain traditions of Christmas as well. So this week, I went and bought a pomelo. Does anyone know what a pomelo is? So in Indonesia, where I grew up, pomelos came around Christmas time. They're called a jeruk bali. And so I bought a pomelo. So every year, Carla sometimes surprises me with a pomelo. So there's certain weird, maybe Christmas traditions that we have, right? And things that we do. But probably one of the funnest things, one of the things that we enjoy the most, Carla and I, is going and looking at the lights, right? So going around looking at the lights is always fun. But the most, if you guys, I know Fred was talking about lights the other day, so maybe he has lights like this. But when you go to the houses that have their lights connected with music, have you guys seen that? Isn't that amazing? We should designate one person in the church to do that for us so we can go look at his lights. So Fred, next year, think of that. But it's really amazing actually to go and see the light shows and the light connected to music and all that. And lights are very much a part of Christmas, aren't they? And there's so much a part of Christmas when you're trying to untangle them. You know, it's enjoyable, right? Or when you're trying to find that one bulb that doesn't work and you keep switching out and trying to find that. Like, finally, I guess, threw all our old lights away. But anyways, with that light, when we think of light, when we think of Christmas, it's in a sense synonymous with Christmas, right? Lights are synonymous with Christmas in a way. And light, not only for Christmas, but light in general is something that is, of course, needed. Without light, there's darkness. And so in regards to thinking about light, I don't know if any of you have ever been into a really dark cave before. A really dark cave where you can almost feel the darkness. Is there anyone here that has been in a cave like that? I have never been in a cave like that, and I never will be, because that sounds terrifying to me. I've been in a cave, but it was lit up. But this light, this darkness. And so when we think of light, you know, we have different things that we use, flashlights, and our cars have lights and all that. And so ultimately what I want us to focus on this morning and really think about is Jesus being the light of the world, right? Jesus being the light of the world. And light shows us where we're going at night. Light shows us our path before us. Light shows us what's out there, what we cannot see. And light also brings life. And so those are the things, as we talk about Christ and we talk about what he gives, those are some of the things that I'll bring out. But if you guys could turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 2, verse 8. And I believe the Hark the Herald Angels Sing song, or Angels Sing, the song is based on this passage here. And in Luke 2, verse 8, it says, "In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flocks by night." And so if you can just picture yourself out in a field in the dark, you know, watching over your flocks, and then all of a sudden, verse 9, "And the angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them." So here you have these shepherds all alone, and all of a sudden the angel of the Lord stood before them. And so based on that song, you know, we don't know if the angel was the angel Gabriel. We don't know if it was Michael, or according to that song, maybe it was Harold. But Anyways, I was thinking of that this week. But no, I don't think that's what that's talking about, actually. I'll have to go through that song again. But anyways, the angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them. And we know from Scripture when an angel shows up, people get terrified. But not only the angel of the Lord, it talks about and the glory of the Lord. The glory of the Lord shone around them. And as you go in Scripture, as you read about God's glory in Scripture, it's pretty amazing. If you go to Ezekiel 43, it talks about God's glory. Exodus 19 and 20 talks about when the Lord came upon Mount Sinai. And then in Exodus 33, when Moses wanted to see the face of God and what God tell him, if you see my face, you'll die. And so this glory of the Lord, you know, it says shone around them. So my guess is pretty bright. And they were terribly frightened, which makes sense. If it's bright, you're sitting out there in the field, all of a sudden this happens. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." And so here you have these angels coming to these shepherds, and in a sense, the culmination of time is fulfilled in this message that Christ has come. The Savior has come into the world, and for the angels telling them this is just incredible. So if there's one time in my life that I would love to go back to, if they ever make a time machine, this is a time where to be there with the angels in the field, it would be kind of fun, you know, egging them on, telling them, just wait. It's going to get bright here in a second. But this concept of the Savior is coming to the earth. The Savior who is Christ the Lord. And so we see that as we think about this and as we think about being out there, I want to drop down to the next passage is Isaiah 9, verse 2 and verse 6. And so when I think of the light show, as you guys are turning there, and I think of how the light show is harmonized in music, like this would be the greatest Christmas light show ever, right? You have the angels singing, you have the angels celebrating the coming of the Messiah, and the shepherds just being in awe of what God was doing. And so in Isaiah chapter 9, we read verse 2, "The people who walk in darkness will see a great light." So just like those shepherds out there, darkness and then light, right? So darkness and then light. "The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. Those who live in a dark land, the light will shine on them." And we know Isaiah wrote this 700 years before this time when the angels came. 700 years prior, Isaiah wrote this passage. "The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. Those who live in a dark land, the light will shine on them." And then verse 6, "For a child will be born to us, a son will be given, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace." And so it's interesting, as I was trying to think of what I should share today, there's so many different passages in regards to Jesus, so many different passages. How do you choose what to focus on, right? And so ultimately what I want to focus on is Isaiah 9:2. "The people who walk in darkness will see a great light." And from verse 6, we know that this great light clearly is the person of Christ, the person of Jesus that came into the world. And so from Scripture, you know, light and darkness is often contrasted. In verse 2, light is synonymous with God in Scripture and His righteous character. And in 1 John 1:5, it says, "This is a message we have heard from Him. There is no darkness at all." And so we see that as we see this verse, Isaiah 9:2, "The people who walk in darkness will see a great light." And then here in 1 John, "For God is light. There is no darkness in Him." Light is void of darkness. God is void of sin. God is holy. He's separate. He's set apart, right? And then in verse 9, where in chapter 2 in Luke, and the angels of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. Again, God's glory, God's majesty, who God is. God's character of light, it was revealed in chapter 2 of Luke there. And then we see darkness. Darkness is synonymous with evil, pride, prideful character, influenced by the fall of man, the world, the devil, and our own selfish desires. So a couple of references is Ephesians 5:11 and Colossians 1:13. The Bible references the deeds of darkness, the kingdom of darkness. But based on Isaiah chapter 9, 2, John 8:12, if you want to turn there, John 8:12, Jesus clearly defines who he is. So in John 8, verse 12, we read, "Then Jesus again spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world." And so we had 700 years prior, you had Isaiah prophesied about Christ being the light. And then you had the shepherds declare, or the angels declare Jesus as the light and the Savior of the world. And then you had Jesus himself. And even the word I am there, when Jesus says, I am the light of the world. I am the self-existent one, in a sense, what he was saying. Way back to the burning bush when Moses said, who are you? And the Lord said, I am that I am, right? I am the self-existent one. So in a sense, Jesus claiming to be God and saying, I am the light of the world. And he who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So he who follows me will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Exactly as Isaiah promised. So he declares himself very, very plainly to be the light of the world. Thus the fulfillment of the prophecy in Isaiah. And so today, as we look at Jesus being the light of the world, I couldn't help but to think of John 14:6, where Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. And so in three ways we're going to look at today, the light of Jesus lights the way, the light of Jesus reveals the truth, and the light of Jesus gives life. And so as we look at this, the first passage we'll be looking at here pretty soon is in John 12, if you want to turn there. But before we get into that, one way I want to illustrate this light concept and have us think through this is just talking about, for me personally, I love flashlights. I always have. I love them so much, I brought my flashlight today. And I don't want to shine it in your eyes because it's bright, right? And maybe this is as bright as the angel was, I'm not sure. But I love flashlights. Why do you think I love flashlights so much? I'm afraid of the dark. That is true. I am afraid of the dark. And flashlights help, believe me. So I grew up in Indonesia, right? And so when I grew up in Indonesia, there was lots of creepy crawlers around. And so that's probably a reason, one of the many reasons I love flashlights. But when you have weird bugs and snakes crawling around, you have to think about light, right? So when we think of light and a flashlight, without light, there is fear of what could be on the path or in my way in front of me. Without light, there's fear. So when we were growing up, we lived on a school base, and we would walk from our dorm to the gym, and right next to the gym was a big bamboo grove. And one year, for whatever reason, there was a snake in this bamboo grove that literally chased my brother across the field one time. And we were laughing our heads off, you know, this snake going like this, chasing my brother. He's screaming bloody murder, running across the field. And so it was so funny because of this snake there, for, again, I don't know why the only aggressive snake that I ever actually ran into. But because of that snake right by the bamboo grove there, when we would at night be done playing in the gym, we literally would just run as hard as we could, as fast as we could, hoping that he wasn't there, right? And so anyway, so with light though, as I was thinking about illustrating this, but without light, it was terrifying. You just run as fast as you could. But with light, I could shine in the bamboo grove and see, okay, is he there? What's he doing? All that kind of thing. And then determine my next step to take, right? The path in front of me. And so when we think of Jesus, the light of the world, that Jesus lights the way in front of us, exactly like that flashlight, shining in our path, shining in our way, revealing what is out there, right? And so the question we have to ask ourselves is from this passage in John 14:6, when Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. What path was Jesus lighting the way to? And we know from that passage he was ultimately lighting the way to the Father. No one can come to Christ, or no one can come to the Father except through the person of Jesus Christ. And so the way, so in regards to the, what, when Jesus lights the way for us, and for us personally, he lights the way to the Father. He lights the way so that we can have a right relationship with God. We can be made right with God, and it's a way of salvation by believing in Jesus. Since God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. The way, and then so the three things Jesus lights the way for are the way to the Father, the way to be made right with God, and the way out of darkness and into light. So if you look at John 12, verse 35, Jesus makes this pretty clear. He says, so Jesus said to them, for a little while longer, the light is among you. So for a little while longer, Jesus is saying, I am among you. Walk while you have the light. And when the Bible refers to walk while you have the light, live in a way that Jesus is among you. Live in a way, live out your life in a way that Jesus is actually present. And he was at this time, right? So walk while you have the light so that darkness will not overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. Just like I said with the flashlight, Jesus was lighting the path. Jesus was lighting the way so they could walk in the light, right? They could walk in regards to following where he was going. And then it says in verse 36, while you have the light, believe in the light so that you may become sons of light. And then if you jump down to verse 44, and Jesus cried out and said, he who believes in me does not believe in me, but in him who sent me. He who sees me sees the one who sent me. I have come as a light into the world so that everyone who believes in me will not remain in darkness. And so you have Jesus lighting the way for us, lighting the way to God, showing us the path in order how to get to God himself. And it struck me in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, and this is probably a familiar verse to us. It says, talking about the way or the path, right? In verse 13 it says, enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction. And so ultimately, just like light and darkness, there's two ways or two paths. The broad path is the path that leads to destruction, which would be darkness. And there are many who enter through it, for the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it. And it's unfortunate, isn't it? There are few who find it, because Jesus himself, the light of the world, came to earth and revealed himself to man, and yet there are few who find the way. And the way is the way to the Father. And so praise the Lord that through Christ, we can have a right relationship with God. Through the light of the world coming, I can see my way to God. I can see my way to a righteous God and know by placing my faith in Christ and trust in Christ, I can enjoy a relationship with the Father. And the next thing that light, when we talk about light, the light of Jesus reveals truth, doesn't it? The light of Jesus reveals truth. And so when we think of going back to my flashlight illustration, for me personally, being afraid of the dark, one thing that terrifies me is when I camp is this little tiny tent with hardly anything between me and nature, right? And what if a big bear came? You know, it's not going to... So when I hear little things out in the dark, I get my flashlight out and I get up and look and make sure everything's okay. So I actually bought one of those car top tents. So nothing can bother me now. I just sit up there. It's wonderful. But when I was a kid growing up, we lived along a river. And this river basically boats would come up and down. And there was a certain noise these boats would make. And as basically a small diesel engine, and they would make this noise. And when I was little, I for some reason thought those boats were demons, and you'd hear them from far off. So I'd be sleeping, right, trying to sleep, and then I'd hear this thing getting closer and closer and closer, and it'd scare me to death when I was little. And the interesting thing is that my imagination, just like whether it's sleeping in a tent or these boats, my imagination would go wild. And then, but you know what the reality was? If I would shine my light, it's just a boat. That's all it is, right? When I get out, when I'm camping, I shine my light, there's nothing out there. It's just a tree. It's just a noise. And so light reveals truth, doesn't it? And when you think about it, apart from Christ, apart from Jesus revealing truth to us, we're not going to be able to see reality. Oftentimes, the things we make up in our minds, our imagination, actually taints what reality is, right? So apart from Christ, we're left to our own imaginations. We create our own reality, a fake reality. So like I thought, these demons out there, that was a totally fake reality. And you know, another illustration I think in regards to this is Disney World. When I go to Disney World, it'd be weird if we went there and I said, you know, I think I'm going to stay here and live here. You guys would all look at me like, what in the world's wrong with him? You know, this is just fake. It's just pretend. This isn't reality. And oftentimes, when we think of our world and our created reality, the pleasure, the fun, all those things in the end will be disappointing because they're not truth. They're not in the light, right? And so, ultimately, when I try to live a life apart from Christ, I'm creating my own fantasy world. I'm creating Disneyland. That's where I'm living. Apart from Christ, there is no truth. And so when you have Jesus coming to give us truth, we don't have time to go through. There's many, many passages. One of the passages I want to look at is Colossians chapter 1. And talking about him revealing the truth of who I was, of who I am, and who God is from just this one verse here. And again, if we had more time, we could spend it more because there's many passages. But Colossians 1 verse 12 says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. And then in verse 13 it says, for he rescued us from the domain of darkness and has transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. So who I was before Christ, before the light of Jesus, before I believed in Jesus was, I was in darkness. I needed rescued. I needed saved from the darkness. Just like it says here, for he rescued us from the domain of darkness. From the domain or the kingdom of darkness, he rescued us. So that's who I am now. Because I believe, I share in the inheritance of the saints. I share in the inheritance of God's holy people because of Christ, the light of Christ. I'm rescued from darkness and transferred into God's kingdom, from a kingdom of darkness to a kingdom of light. I'm redeemed or bought out of slavery, and slavery to what? Slavery to darkness. Slavery to sin, slavery to evil, and I'm brought into light. I'm forgiven of my sins. And then lastly, who God is. The light of Jesus revealed God to us. Jesus walking on this earth showed us what the character of God looks like. And if you turn to Hebrews chapter 1, it's another description, but where it says, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Verse 15, he is the image, Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. So Jesus, as he walked this earth, was the very image of the invisible God. So if we want to see God and know what he's like, read the Gospels. Read what Jesus is like. Read about his character and what he has done. And then also Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 through 4, it says, God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers in the prophets in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. And he is the radiance of his glory. So Jesus is what I was saying. Jesus is the radiance of God's glory, the exact representation of his nature. And he upholds all things by the word of his power. When he made purifications of sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. And I love these verses in Colossians and here in Hebrews, because it helps me to understand who God is. It helps me to understand what God's character is like. And when you look at Jesus' life, his kindness, his love, his compassion, his goodness, his justice, all those things are seen as we read about Jesus' life. And from that, we know that's what God's like. And he is God, we know that. But if we want to know the character of God and all that God is, Jesus reveals the light of God's nature to us. And so then lastly we have Jesus, the light of Jesus gives life. And again, going off that verse, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So going back to the flashlight illustration, without light and darkness, I sometimes fear even for my life, right? And again, another story, we had these robbers when I was growing up that they were called pencutis. That's the Indonesian word for them, pencuti. And again, it was scary because they were real. They were out there. And even thinking about how light and that, when sometimes you might fear for your life and how light illuminates something and you realize, I don't have to be afraid. I don't have to fear. And so as I think about the light of Jesus giving life, it's similar to that, where when we see the light of Jesus, we don't have to fear because we know about life. We understand where our lives, where we are now and where we're going, right? I can enjoy life because I can clearly see in the light of Jesus. I can clearly see what he's up to. And so the three things I have here, Jesus' life was the light of man. From John 1:4-5. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. And so when we think of Jesus on this earth, where it says, in him was life, and that life was the light of men, the spiritual light that Jesus brought to the earth, I was thinking of an illustration, would be like turning the lights on from the Albertson Stadium in a dark cave. All of a sudden, the light of Jesus, the spiritual brightness as he walked this earth was incredible. And it's beyond really what we can imagine because he brought light to mankind. His light illuminated the darkness. His light, and we know that when Jesus was even being tempted by Satan, that the light of Jesus won over Satan's temptation. And so when we think of this, we think of that his light reflected the very character of God to the world, like we talked about. And then the next thing, Jesus, the light of Jesus gives eternal life. If you turn to John 6, verse 66, it says here, as a result of this, many of his disciples withdrew and were not walking with him anymore. So Jesus said to the 12, you do not want to go away also, do you? Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. And as I think of this verse, as I think of this passage, and just think of my own Christian life, This is often how I feel sometimes, because what was going on here is Jesus was saying some hard things and some hard things for the people to understand, and then many people left. And with Peter here, when he's saying, Jesus says, what do you guys think, to his disciples? What do you guys think here? And Peter says, Lord, to whom shall we go? And I feel like this oftentimes in my life, maybe when the light is a little dim and I'm not quite understanding some things that God's trying to tell me. Because I think that same way is like, Lord, I'm not, I'm impatient. I want things done right away. I want to understand what God's doing in my life right away. Things aren't working out my way. The things that I struggle with, or the things we struggle with, worry and loneliness and anger and lust and the different things that we all struggle with every day. I think it's easy to ask the Lord, okay, Lord, I would like a little brighter light here. I would like a little clearer light in my life because I'm not quite understanding things. And that's why when I was thinking of this verse, I was thinking, you know what, sometimes life can be confusing. But ultimately, as I think about this, where it says, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And it's an encouragement to me that, you know what, that Jesus, even though I may not always understand what's going on, even though I may not always clearly see what his plan is for my life and the way I should take and the path before me, that there is no other way to go. There is no other person, thing in this world to turn to other than the light of Christ, because he has the true light. And to me, it's an encouragement because I realize, okay, Lord, I'm not exactly sure where to go, but I know it's you. And I'm going to keep going to you and keep looking to you and keep trusting that you're going to guide me as I go down the path that I have in my life. And lastly, the light of Jesus gives abundant life. John 10:10, it says, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. And Jesus says, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. And so here we see the difference between light and darkness. So the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And Jesus says, I've come to give you life. And not only life, the Greek word there for life is zoe, I believe. And it means this abundant life, this life to enjoy or life to the full. And so when we think of Jesus' life, the abundant life, instead of stealing, Jesus came to redeem. Instead of stealing, Jesus came to redeem and buy us back from the slavery of sin. Instead of death, we have life in him. Security, no fear of death, right? Instead of death, like the devil, like the kingdom of darkness is trying to give, we have light in Christ. Instead of destruction, we can live with him in glory forever. And so it's a very, very clear contrast between light and darkness, isn't it? And just the opportunity we have as Jesus gives us life, that we can look at him and know that, Lord, thank you for this light you have given us, this amazing light. And so as we think in closing here, that Jesus is the light of the world because the light of Jesus lights our way. Jesus is the light of the world because the light of Jesus reveals truth. And Jesus is the light of the world because Jesus gives life. And the world is darkness. Our own way is darkness. Our selfish fleshly desires are darkness. Anything I have to offer, anything this world has to offer apart from Jesus is darkness. And just to realize that, and just to think about that a little bit, anything I have to offer, anything this world has to offer, apart from Jesus, is darkness. And why is that? Because he is the light. He is the way. There's no other way. There's no other light. There's no other truth apart from him. Our path is dark. Our reality is a fantasy. Our lives are meaningless apart from Jesus, the light of the world. We are hopeless and helpless apart from him. Clearly, the light of the world, Clearly, the light the world needs does not come from this world, does it? The light the world needs does not come from this world. Mankind's ideologies, political parties, AI technology, I know that's a new thing, or so-called educated viewpoints, but has to come from outside the world. The light that the world needs has to come from God Himself, Jesus, the light of the world. And in John 8:23 it says, "And He was saying to them, 'You are from below,'" talking to the people, "'I am from above, you are of this world, I am not of the world.'" Thankfully, praise the Lord, Isaiah chapter 9:2, the great light has come, and His name is Jesus. And we can celebrate that, can't we? And we do celebrate that, and we get to celebrate that next week. And again, going back to the Colossians verse, "For He rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son." Jesus rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to His kingdom. And so when we think of Christmas, when we think of Jesus, when we think of this time of year, and when we see those Christmas lights, let's remember that Jesus, thankfully, is our light. And through Him, we can see, we can have truth, we can see our way, right? We can enjoy life because of Him. So I'm going to pray. The worship team can come forward at this time. Lord, we just do praise You. It's hard to even express our gratitude to You, Lord. And just, Lord, that You have been so gracious to show us the way through You, through Your Son coming to this earth and dying in our place, Lord. And Lord, we are we're just grateful that we can celebrate Your life, and we're grateful for this wonderful country and our church here and the family that we have as believers. And Lord, I just pray that if there are those here that don't know You and have not experienced Your light in their lives, Lord, that they would just make it a priority to be able to walk in truth and to get to know You, Lord. And Lord, we love You. We are so thankful for You and so thankful for all You have done for us. In Jesus' name, amen.